Anyway, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 15 this morning. Here's an idea. See if you agree. Don't tell me if you don't, because it will really ruin where I'm going to go, all right? To be good at something, it takes practice. Is that fair to say? All those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Oh, well done. Whether that's a sport, or whether it's a craft, or even a job role, we have to work at it to improve. Now, my youngest, Hugo, who some of you know, I don't know why I'm down there, he's definitely almost up here, but he plays football and he practices literally constantly, but has specific times during the week which take up 3 hours of his time. Now that's fine, but the game on a Saturday is only 40 minutes long. So you're practicing for 3 hours to play for 40 minutes, and in between that, there's orange juice at half time. Impressive, I know. But nevertheless, all of that training goes into that small amount of time just on a Saturday. And if it's a hobby or a craft perhaps that you're into, the more you do it, the more you learn. That fair to say? But also, we have that within us to seek instruction sometimes. Sometimes. There are times when we don't seek instruction, that I do well know. But we're often hints and tips to maybe observe what others are doing and how they go about it and how they've maybe overcome certain obstacles. And although we might all have sort of different desires and objectives with the things that we enjoy, we, I guess, all, if you like, share the same desire to learn and to get better at that thing, to grow at it and to work at it in order that we are as good as we can be at that specific thing. Paul in Colossians chapter 2 is writing to the church there in Colossae about their position before God. And a phrase that we know really well as a church, because I've plugged it now for a solid 12 months, to know who they are and whose they are. And that's so important before the Lord. And that's what Paul is drawing them to. But he's prompting them also to continue onwards, to push forward in what they are on with an eye on where the teaching is coming from. And I think we live in an age, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't, because again, we'll ruin the whole thing. You're almost with me this morning, come on. We've got a lot of visitors this morning. If you don't look like you're interested, then they'll never be back, all right? That if we're not careful in the age that we live in, we can look to TikTok instead of a professor. Is that fair? I mean, I know you would never do it, but what I'm saying is that is the reality. Well, look, that's how they do it, so that must be right, because they're an influencer. And we have to be really careful in the age that we live in that we don't slip into that mentality. Now, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 15. I'll read it, and then I'll pray, and then we'll see what the Lord's got to say to us. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word. And Father, as we've just read it together now, that you might just bless it to us. Father, that we might have ears and hearts, minds that are ready to receive what you've got for us. Father, that you might bless me as I bring this word, that I might be a blessing to those in here this morning. And Lord, we thank you once again for this opportunity. Speak to us now through your word, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So Paul then is continuing off the back of what he's been explaining just in the previous few verses. And we couldn't take it all in because I don't have the time. And if I get over 50 minutes, people get really upset. Oh, it was careful. So their acceptance of Christ as Saviour is paramount as Paul is making the point. And he's made the point in the previous verses. He's also made the point about their growth in the Lord. And also his desire to be physically present with them. That Paul has a desire to be there so that he can share with them. And so then we get to this moment in verse 6 and 7, which says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You've received Christ. Continue to live your life in him. It's so easy to say that we're doing something, even in your own mind, to say that I'm going to do this and then almost believe that you're doing it. Is that just me? No, it's not. You know, I like to run, but in my heart of hearts, I can't possibly ever say that I'm a runner, because running once a week does not constitute a runner, is what I've heard. But I like to say that I run, but I'm not really a runner. I've never thought, oh, I need to improve my form to get faster. That's never gone through my mind. Usually it's I need to lose weight, therefore I will get quicker. No, the less me I'm pulling around, the easier it gets. That's how I've worked it out. And a bag of sugar is a lot. You try carrying it all day. So the reality then, Paul is saying to the church here that what we have to do is that when we've grasped who we are, that we have to continue to live in that way to show who we are. That I don't just say I'm a Christian and everybody go, oh, that's brilliant, and then I live how I want to live. But rather I say that I'm a Christian, and as James says, that I do what the word says. Be ye doers of the word, for those King James readers among us. To read and to soak it up and to allow it to permeate into your heart and into your mind and to do what it says. We can't just say it, but we have to live it. And it almost sounds daft that we can convince ourselves that we're maybe doing these things and we believe that we're doing them. But church, if we're not careful, that is the trap that we can fall into. And I've been having a quick brief look at Revelations. We're going to go there as a church through Bible study in the month of June. And of course, we'll see the church at Laodicea, which is just lukewarm. It says it's doing it, but it's not really. There's a lethargy. I'm not really involved. I just say I am. I'm just saying I'm a Christian. But we never audibly say that. But if we're not careful, these are the things that happen in our mind. If you run once, you're not a runner. If you play football once, you're not a footballer. And I take the odd photograph. I am not a photographer. In fact, a terrible photographer, but never mind. And that's the reality, church. If we're not careful, that we just do this, but we never actually do it. And Paul says that we're to be rooted and built up in him. And that really is the key. Because if we're rooted in him, and you think about just the reality of what's around about us, the plants and the trees, they're rooted. Why are they rooted? Well, because they soak up the moisture and the nutrients from the ground so that they can what? Survive, first of all. Pluck them out of the ground and see how long they last. But that they can survive, but also that they can thrive. And that's what Paul is drawing the church here and us today about, being just that, being rooted in Christ. It's vital. It's not optional. I should have got an amen there. Being rooted in Christ is vital. It is not optional.
Amen.
If we want to survive and if we want to grow. And as we look and as we search the scriptures, we're strengthened in our faith. And then it says that we're overflowing with thankfulness. When was the last time that you were overflowing with thankfulness? Oh, you could hear a pin drop. But isn't that the reality? That's just our very human nature at times. We forget of what we've been given. We forget what the Lord has done for us. We forget his goodness and his grace and his mercy. But as we look, we're strengthened in our faith and we're overflowing with thankfulness. So often at many coaching sessions for pretty much any sport, they'll say to those that are trying to learn, go back to basics. How many times have you heard that over the years? Or what they need to do as a team is just go back to the basics. What he needs to do as a tennis player is just go back to the basics and get the ball over the net. Just go back to basics. Because we can get caught up in trying to do things and say things and be involved in things that perhaps we haven't got a full grasp of. But Paul is saying here, just breathe. Get back to basics. Remember your foundation. Remember where your roots are. Draw your strength and your sustenance from him. And if we're not careful, we start to make silly mistakes because we drift away. And Paul is saying just that. Remember the basics of who we are in Christ, what he's done for us, how he saved us, church, how he set us free from sin. And as we do that, our hearts are filled with joy. And all that we've received and all that we have been given because of God's love for us, knowing how undeserving we are, starts to refresh our minds. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How can that not refresh your soul? Whilst I was an enemy of the cross, God gave his best for me. How magnificent is that? I was undeserving. So were you. But by God's grace, he has given us the opportunity at life. But there's this other thing that sort of happens as we move through the text. That there's outside, external influences, but also there's outside influences on the inside. Does that make sense? There's outside external influences that we go out into the world and if we're not careful, we allow the world to soak into us, not us soaking into the world. And if we're not careful, if we've done that, as the world soaks into us, where do we bring the world? We bring the world to church. And we bring the world into this. And we start vying for position. And I should be doing this. And look at what I've done. I just don't ever see Jesus do that once. He came to serve, not to be served. He came to serve. And church, this is the pattern that we should be following. To follow Christ. Not to get derailed by philosophy or ideology that's different to what this word says. And Paul is very clear here in verse 8. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. But this isn't new to Paul. He's seen this all before. And you only have to go to Galatians in chapter 5, verse 7 through 9, and I'll read it for you. You were running a good race. If only that were the case. I mean me physically when I go out for a run. Never has that happened yet. But you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. And he says a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Paul says, who cut in on you? In other words, you were on it and then you lost sight. And he says, run in such a way as to receive the prize. And if you've ever seen a sprinter in the 100 metres, apart from Usain Bolt, he's a complete freak of nature. Nobody looks to the left or the right, do they? They all look to the finish line. And he could only do that because literally nobody's ever been that fast. Stick a gazelle at the side of him, I think he'd still win. But their focus is on the prize. That's what Paul is saying here. That's what he said in Galatians. That's what he's refreshed our minds with, to make sure that we don't get cut in on, that we don't drift and we don't lose focus. We have to be on guard. Make sure that we're aware of the truth through our learning and our growth and our application. And if that doesn't match up with the word, and we're heading in a direction that isn't what the word says, then he's absolutely clear it is not profitable one bit. It has to be built on Christ. Amen? Amen. We'll remember to fix our eyes on to the word. Hebrews 12 verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, pioneer, the finisher of our faith. Fix our eyes on the word. John says, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word is Jesus. The word became flesh. And he says here, fix your eyes on Jesus. Doing this promotes our focus and desire to learn and to grow and to become more Christ-like in our day-to-day. But Paul reminds us that there is no one or anything higher or greater than God. And he makes that really clear. Why does he do that? Well, he does that not just to tell us because, well, we might go, well, I know. But we can follow so much because, particularly in today's world, we can follow so much, can't we? So much. And we can follow and we can tag and we can like and we can follow and do all the other things. And we can follow all of that. But Paul is telling us this, that there is no one, there is nothing greater than him. Don't follow second best. Follow the author and finisher of our faith. Follow the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Let's not get caught up with what the world says is the right thing to do, but let's get absolutely fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and the word that we have before us that shows us that we are his, that he loved us beyond measure. And this is what Paul does, and he does it so often. As he gets to the end of a section, he sort of always takes the opportunity to give the gospel. The gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. He doesn't miss an opportunity. And he draws us to the foot of the cross. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Wow. I'm slightly upset you didn't say amen at the end of that. I mean, I feel like you're almost there. But church, what a joy that is. Paul is not holding back. He's telling us what we have received in and through Christ. All our condemnation has been nailed to the cross. Our sin and our shame has been dealt with. The author of life has dealt with the lot. See what God has done through the Lord Jesus. It says he disarmed evil by giving his life in your place. By giving his very best for the very worst of us. He has won once and for all, triumphing over sin and death as he bore upon himself the sins that we have committed. And this then, this wonderful truth, has opened up a way for you and me that was previously cut off. That now we have the opportunity at life. John 3:16, the verse that's on the wall as you walk into church. God so loved you and me that he gave his one and only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. That as we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank him for the power and the work of the cross. We say, Lord, I'm sorry for the sin in my life. Please come into my heart and change me from the inside out. That there is a way open for me and for you to come into the Holy of Holies, to stand before our Maker and him to say, come on. You know, church, there is no greater gift. There is no money that can buy. There is nothing that can achieve. Only by grace, being given what we do not deserve, God has given you and I this opportunity at life. And we can take hold of it with both hands. And if you haven't already, then why? What is the delay? You maybe heard it so many times and maybe just palmed it off as it's not for me. I can promise you it is for you. There is nothing greater in this world, nothing more important in this world, nothing more real than the power and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for you. Not just the person to the left or the right or in front. I'm talking to you. He gave himself for you. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart. Church, that is how easy the gospel is. That is how simple God has made it for you and I to come into a relationship with him. And this moment here that Paul has shared with us shows love in its greatest capacity on display for all to see. That it is on display for you and for me to realize what Christ has done. And church, with this joy and the love that Christ has shown us and the blessings that we've received, let's read 6 and 7 one more time. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. And the church said,
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word, Father, for its encouragement and for its blessing. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would just continue to speak into our hearts, that we might just learn and we might grow and we might be rooted and established in you. Father, that we might just keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That, Lord, we might just know and understand that we have an opportunity at life. And that, Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has not accepted you as their own personal Lord and Saviour, that today might be the day that they might step from death to life. Father, we ask all of these things in and through our Saviour's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ.